You are listening to the Independent News Hour on WBAI 99.5 FM and streaming on WBAI.org. I am Amba Gurgarian, your co-host here with my other host, John Tarleton. And we are going to continue talking about some of the highlights from our April print edition, which hit the streets just today in news boxes and libraries all near you. And we actually have two stories by our new correspondent, Ariana Orozco. You're going to tell us about those, right, John?
That's right. In one article, Ariana looks at the potential closure of SUNY Downstate Hospital in central Brooklyn and the fierce opposition that has stirred. And in her other article, we meet medical school students in the Bronx who recently learned that they would not have to pay any more tuition in their college career thanks to the extraordinary gift that the school received from one of its supporters. Ariana, welcome to WBAI Radio.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you with us. So let's start with SUNY Downstate. Tell us about this hospital, who it serves, and what it would mean for the central Brooklyn community if it were to close.
Yeah, so SUNY Downstate is located in East Flatbush, and it's attached to the SUNY Downstate Medical Center, and it's really popularly known as, like, the only kidney transplant center in Brooklyn. And it serves a huge portion of Brooklyn's Black, Brown, Medicaid/Medicare, and uninsured patients. So it serves a huge swatch of the population. And over the past 15 years of shutdowns, you know, starting from Brooklyn's Victory Memorial Hospital in 2008 to most recently Kingsbrook Jewish Hospital last fall, SUNY Downstate has really taken on like an increased importance to Brooklyn healthcare. You know, so if it were to close, you know, to be blunt, people would die. There's really no adequate alternative. The next closest hospital, Kings County, is really already bursting at the seams and doesn't have pediatrics or a kidney center. So, you know, best case scenario would be, in the meantime, while they build that infrastructure, there would be children, dialysis patients, and a ton of Brooklynites who would go simply without health care.
Wow. Well, talk about the role SUNY Downstate played specifically during the COVID-19 pandemic and how that has contributed to its current problems.
Yeah, so in 2020, then-Governor Cuomo deemed SUNY Downstate a COVID-only hospital. So the hospital was not getting compensated for serving thousands of New Yorkers because it primarily makes its quote-unquote profit, you know, whatever that means for a social service, from Medicare/Medicaid reimbursements. But those reimbursements in New York have remained fairly stagnant, while obviously there was a huge need for medical care. So that was really when we saw the most recent kind of deficit that the state is quoting at $100 million, where some correspondents are saying closer to $40 million. But certainly that's where the kind of biggest portion of their, you know, debt, as the state likes to call it, comes from at this current moment.
And who is fighting to save SUNY Downstate now? And what have you been learning from them?
Yeah, so, you know, much like the people that they serve, it's a pretty diverse cohort who's fighting to keep it. So in early March, there was a protest where over 1,000 community members came to really protest. And that was really led by Senator Zelnor Myrie and the United University professionals. But it also included the New York State United Teachers and the Public Employees Federation and a ton of clergy members across the city. So what you're seeing is there's a real desire to keep the hospital open and a real, you know, that the community is willing to invest in their health care and are only asking that, you know, Governor Hochul does the same.
Right. And so it seems like the fate of the hospital is now tied up in these much larger state budget negotiations that are going on in Albany. Again, SUNY Downstate is under the control of the state, so it's not like the city or city council can intervene here. And for listeners who don't follow the machinations of state government, the end of March is when the annual state budget is due, and it's a $230 billion state budget, and all sorts of stuff gets negotiated into these budget deals, and I guess Senator Myrie and other Brooklyn electeds are trying to make sure that there's provisions in this sprawling budget deal to save the hospital.
Yeah, So there's two really kind of important bills currently that the Senate is trying to pass. So the first is Senator Zelnor Myries, and he proposed a similar one last year that passed 62-0, so overwhelming people in favor of a sustainability plan for SUNY Downstate. The other one comes from Senator Gustavo Rivera, who's actually in the Bronx, who wants to increase those Medicare reimbursement rates so that this doesn't just happen to SUNY Downstate, but that we don't see just this consistent pattern of safety net hospitals across the city shutting down, really to the detriment of New York City's low-income, immigrant, black and brown populations.
Right. And when these Medicaid reimbursements are shortchanged, I mean, that just means there's more money in the budget pot for maybe other priorities of the governor, like funding new football stadiums or giving out tax breaks to luxury real estate developers. So, I mean, it's a battle here over priorities.
Yeah, certainly, especially because ultimately, while there are these really two important bills, the budget's going to be passed within kind of the confidence of Governor Hochul and her selected cabinet, which means that a lot of times these safety net hospitals or other social safety nets get really caught up in kind of a horse trade. So deciding how much people are willing to fight, how much political power people are willing to put behind certain things. And that's what's kind of really frightening about this, is that despite all the efforts of community members, ultimately what it's going to come down to is Governor Hochul.
Right. The governor and then the leadership of the two houses of the state legislature, but yes. I mean the governor definitely has the strongest hand in these negotiations, which all happen behind closed doors,
exactly, yeah.
Deliberately, of course, to sort of keep the rest of the population out of the game. But certainly the union and the Brooklyn elected officials have made their voice heard. Now, moving real quickly to some more hopeful news, which is this development in the Bronx with the Albert Einstein College of Medicine, where I think one of the members of the Board of Trustees, I'm sorry, I don't have her name on the...
Ruth Gottsman.
Ruth Gottsman. Her husband made a ton of money on Wall Street, and she announced she was giving a $1 billion gift to the college so that students would no longer have to pay tuition. You went up there and spoke with the students. What kind of reactions were you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, everyone was overwhelmingly happy, as you can imagine. And I think it's really important also to kind of note, right, that a lot of times people can't go into particular fields or even go to medical school because of the financial burden that it presents. And so one thing I heard from one first-year student, Bailey, who came from a low-income family, was that she feels a lot freer now, right, to be able to pursue the career that she wants to, as opposed to having to choose a high-paying specialty or an oversaturated specialty. And certainly, I think even on a personal level, a lot of these students express that it's affecting them structurally, but also just, as you can imagine, not having to deal with $400,000 of debt at age 30 is a huge source of relief for a lot of them. A lot of them talked about how they previously, you know, every purchase they made, even down to what to eat for the day, they thought about that $400,000. And now they have a lot more space to kind of breathe.
Yeah, that's incredible. And, I mean, there's definitely been a push in recent years to try to win free college education for young people. That was a part of some of the Bernie Sanders presidential campaigns. We haven't seen that happen, but, I mean, I think we're seeing a glimpse here of what could happen if we freed students up from these crippling debts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. And I think it really goes to, you know, healthcare reform would require a huge overhaul, which I think would start even at the medical school level, to encourage students to be able to go and to be able to actually come back to the communities that they come from, as opposed to having to kind of continuously chase money.
Become plastic surgeons doing nose jobs for the
exactly.
rich.
Exactly. Yeah. Dr. Miami's.
So many of the students in your piece, I remember that's really what stuck with me, is that they said, now I can study what I want to study.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, exactly. It's really beautiful to kind of see, like, knowledge be their primary concern now, as opposed to kind of, you know, what they're going to do once right. this is all over. Yeah.
And serving other people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your coverage in this issue, both of that incredible development up in the Bronx and the fierce struggle in central Brooklyn to save a hospital. Ariana Orozco, Thank you again for being on WBAI with us tonight. We look forward to you joining us more in the future.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll be back with more after this short break.